Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to hear how this ministry is impacting your life. So if you would please take a moment and send us your story to mystory@oceansunite.com. And if you'd like to partner with this ministry financially, you can do that at oceansunite.com and select the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining in, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
This morning, I want to talk to you about something that was very heavy on my heart this week, and the Lord kind of led me in a direction after a question that I asked Him, which I'll get to in just a little bit. But before we do that, you know, it's that season right now where, you know, it's time to buy gifts and presents and all that kind of thing. And how many of you know that when, if you have children or if you remember when you were a child, it was very nice to get a gift? Yeah. Amen. Especially when you're a child, like when that present arrives and it's under the tree and you're waiting for the anticipation of finally getting your moment where you can open it up and you rip the paper open and it's that car that you liked or that little bicycle or the bat or whatever it is that you were desiring, and you jump up and you do your little twirl and you run into the kitchen and you spin around and you're all excited. Amen. So, you know, it's so beautiful and it's so wonderful to buy gifts this time of year for the people that we love. Amen. And, you know, at the same time, you know, the Bible speaks about us, you know, needing to be like children, you know, when it comes to our faith, you know, and the Bible is full of gifts that God has given us. And when we receive those gifts or begin to understand those gifts, we should be like children, all excited. Amen. Amen. You know, it's amazing to me sometimes I'll preach on something that is very profound and the, you know, the measured response is not like a child. Amen. So, you know, I'll get excited. Amen. And, you know, God is always busy with us and sometimes needs to show us things and take us back to show us something more. Is that okay? So I want us to take a look at that this morning. How many of you know that the greatest gift the world has ever received is Jesus Christ? Amen. There's no doubt about that. Amen. He is the greatest gift that the world ever has received. And thank God for His Son who came and died and rose again. And death has lost its sting. Now we have life eternally, not only on this earth, but also in the afterlife. We will live with God and Jesus forever. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. So this morning, though, I want to show you in the Bible some gifts that the Lord has given the church. And I want to just briefly go through this with you, because the reality is that every section I'm going to speak to you about needs to be a whole teaching in itself, in order for you to truly be able to understand this. If you've done E2, we talk about the gifts of the Spirit in E2. It's one of our training courses here. And so if you've done that, you'll know a little bit about that. But in the future, we'll be adding some courses to our training here at the church so that you can learn more about these things, which are very important for us to understand. How many of you believe we should take the whole Bible? Yeah. Every word. Yeah. Amen. Because everything applies. Applied then and applies now, correct? Amen. His word never changes. Is that okay? It remains. It will be there forever. Everybody say forever. Amen. Amen. So don't let anybody tell you, well, it's not for us. Amen. So let's go to Ephesians 4, verse number 7. We'll start right there. Ephesians 4, verse number 7. Now, many of you, as you grow in Christ, will begin to discover or begin to desire some of the gifts that God has made available. Because normally that desire comes from Him. Amen. He's the one who draws you. He's the one who draws your love or attention towards something. So many of us will go through our seasons, and as we grow and develop in Him, we will begin to desire some of the gifts. And oftentimes, as I say, it's a result of what God has actually placed in your heart. So let's take a look at this. The first set of gifts we're going to look at are the gifts of Christ. The gifts of Christ. To each one of us, actually the word in the Greek there, the word for each is actually all of us, every one of us. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. to the measure of Christ's gift. So every one of us has received grace from the measure. The measure means a portion or a metron, a portion of Christ's gift. Is that okay?
Yes.
Now, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, the reality is that Paul is actually quoting, I believe it's Psalm 68 or Psalm 60, and actually where David is prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he kind of misquotes it a little bit, go and study it. But what he's speaking about is how this gift is released and was released after Jesus, we believe, went down into the underworld, took the keys of death from Hades, and he came up and he ascended on high as well. Amen. So he overcame death. Is that okay? When he did this, he came up, and this is what he did. And he himself, everybody say himself. So it's Christ. He himself. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So when Jesus came up, he took a measure of what was in him and he placed it in some. Is that okay? Okay, now don't get upset, because if you're getting upset, understand it's called the religious spirit in you rising up. Okay, this is in the Bible. And I'm not taking it in any way out of context. This is straight from the Word. Is that okay? The problem is we don't get taught this stuff. Or if we get religious because we think we're talking about titles. Titles have nothing to do with it. Okay, it's not about the title. It's about the gift. He himself, who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Remember, in the beginning, each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of that gift. Okay, so now, some have been given this gift. What for? What's the reason for this gift to be placed in some? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see, the reality is that when Christ ascended, he gave this gift to the church, these gifts. What's happened over the ages is we've moved completely away from this. So now it is, what does my denomination believe? Well, I'd rather look at what the Bible believes. So when he came up, he gave some to be pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. You know what I'm talking about, the fivefold gifts. So he gave these gifts to the body for what reason? So that you guys can be equipped for the work of the ministry. Because you must understand that grace gift then gives you the grace to be risen up in your ministry. Now, I'll explain more on this when we do the course on this in the future. But you're looking at someone that has literally lived through this. I understand what that means, because not only do I have revelation, I have lived it. And I have seen people with great callings on their lives, when they step away from church and they go and do their own thing, nothing happens. Doesn't matter how anointed they are. You must be connected. Is that okay? So whether it's an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, teacher, pastor, the fact of the matter is that these are different expressions of Christ. Because he was the greatest prophet. He was the greatest apostle. He was the greatest pastor, the greatest teacher, the greatest evangelist. And so he places this gift in men. Now the title has become something that's become a little bit overkill nowadays. Because all of a sudden everyone is apostle this and a prophet that. Now listen, if you truly have that gift inside you, that's wonderful. But the reality is that you don't need to demand to be called apostle so-and-so or prophet so-and-so. When it's in you, people just recognize it. Amen. And if you don't recognize it, you can be ugly and do something about it, but stupid is forever. You will not receive from that gift if you don't recognize that gift. So that's why, for example, when Pastor Mark comes, we identify him as a prophet. He has the gift of the prophet inside him. So when he comes, Pastor Alex is saying, I want everything that's in you. I want to pull it out of you. I want that prophetic released in this house. Amen. Now, one little secret. I'll teach you something really quickly. You've heard me say many times, specifically when it comes to the gift of the apostle and the prophet, these two gifts are gifts that require you to really walk very close to God and have, you know, heavy intimacy with Him. Now, I'm not telling you anything that has appeared in a cloud or revelation that I got. I'm just looking scripturally, specifically when it comes to the apostolic gift. When it comes to the apostolic gift, there's one thing you'll notice. And that is that all the apostles walked with Jesus. In other words, they all had an encounter with Him personally. What was very interesting about the one apostle that didn't walk with Jesus was that he had a personal encounter with Him as well. Very interesting. Because you must understand, Paul's ministry was only birthed when Ananias came and laid hands on him and gave him the Holy Spirit. The Bible says Ananias came, laid hands on him, scales fell off his eyes, and he received the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. But he still, before that, had an encounter with Jesus himself. So be very careful to go around and claim you're an apostle. I think Jesus is the one who appoints. Is that okay? Now, in this hour, God is restoring all five gifts to the body. Why? So that the church can become the perfect man. He's coming for a bride without spot or blemish. So you will hear more about prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists because the gift has been restored. It wasn't too long ago that you didn't never even heard of prophets. It was just pastors and then evangelists with Billy Graham. It was being restored. The gifts were being restored to the body of Christ. Smith Wigglesworth and all these guys. Powerful evangelists ministering. Now the prophetic is beginning to rise up once again in the church. And you will see in this latter hour, the apostolic as well. And I could talk about this for hours because I love it. It's awesome. And I have a revelation of it. And I want to teach you it, but this is not where we're going today. What I want you to see though, is that these gifts were given to the church so that we could equip people to do the work of the ministry. Amen. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. But remember, it's a gift, not a man. So never elevate the man because it's the measure of Christ's gift in the man. So as soon as you elevate the man, you are being foolish. Is that okay? Don't put anyone on a pedestal. Okay? Because it's not the man, it's the gift, okay? Amen. So that's one set of gifts that you get to see that God gave the church. Now, I've got good news for you because He gave other gifts too. Now watch. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 1. Let me just say this. If you are sitting in a ministry where there is no gift of Christ operating, why does He specifically say Christ? Because Christ is the anointed one and the anointing. If that gift isn't operating, the anointing requires the Spirit of God to be moving. It requires the Holy Spirit. When there's letter only and no spirit, it's the message of condemnation. And that doesn't give life, that kills. See, we can't judge the world. If we judge the world, we completely defy the message. So we must have His love and love the world. And love each other too, which is really hard sometimes. Amen. You know, because that brother, you know. But when it's the message of the Word and the Spirit, it's the message of life. And that comes from a gift that will release that to you. Now, the good news is that there's more than just the gifts operating because we also have gifts that operate in our own lives. Watch this now. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, now we're speaking about spiritual gifts. I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to those dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now watch, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, which we're going to get into in a minute. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord, Jesus the Christ. Ministries, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, right? And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. You can go to Romans and study the gifts of God. Amen. Now, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one. Say each one. In other words, all of us. For the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the same Spirit, through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. As He wills. So the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us, has the freedom as He wills to distribute Himself inside every one of us and move through us with words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Ooh, let me tell you something. I didn't do this in the first service, but I need to do it now. We get so stuck between the gift of tongues, which is here, the gifts of the Spirit, and we don't understand why is it, or is it really so that every believer should be able to pray in tongues? Now watch, I'll show you something in a little bit. Just relax, everybody go. Okay, it's okay. Man, I get so upset. Because the church has been held back from everything God wants to give them. Amen. Okay, so we see now these gifts that are given to every one of us. When the Holy Spirit comes and encounters you, you now have the ability, when you listen to Him, to be used supernaturally. How? Just like Jesus was. The same Spirit that dwelled in Christ now dwells in you. And if necessary, if He needs to move, He'll move through you. The problem's not inside, the problem's on top. The problem's in our minds. We can't comprehend it. We can't grasp that God could actually literally use us so powerfully. Now this is beautiful. Gifts of miracles, gifts of healings, gift of prophecy, tongues and interpretation of tongues. He's explaining what will happen when God moves specifically in a service or out there in the world. You need to do the e-course and you'll understand. Amen. So now we see the gifts of Christ, pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, apostles, you get that. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit distributes them, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, miracles, healings, you got it, right? These are gifts that God has given His church so that the church can become the perfect man that it's called to be, and at the same time, display Jesus as He was here on earth through you and I. Okay, I don't know when they decided that this was going to change or when they decided that it no longer happens, but somewhere in translation and denomination, we got lost. I'm not against denominations. There's some brilliant ones. Amen. But we should never ever focus on what denomination we belong to. Even non-denominational now has become kind of like a thing. Amen. But we focus on the Word. Can you all say amen? Amen. Now, so this week I was crying out to God because I don't know about you, but I feel very blessed. Don't get me wrong. I have problems. I have stresses, but I still feel very blessed. And, you know, I look at the life of David and I see someone who made mistakes, who did things wrong, who didn't always go well for, but he had this incredible way of touching God's heart so powerfully that God called him a man after his own heart. And I want to be just like that. So I said to the Lord, Father, what can I do? What can I do to show you how much I love you? What must I do? How can I show my love to you? How can I, you know, I preach always about what you do for us, your love, your grace, your mercy, all this stuff. But what can we do, Lord? What can we as a church, how can I teach the people to love you more, Lord? And expecting him to say something to me like, you need to do this. He said something to me that I've heard before, but I was like, that must just be me. And he kept on saying it, and he kept on saying it over and over. Now let's go to the scripture. I'll tell you what it was in a minute. Luke 11, verse number 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you read the same scripture in the book of Matthew, he actually says in the last sentence, he actually says, how much more will your heavenly Father give you good gifts? You see, we look at the gifts that God gives us to use us in our lives. But the reality is, in order for us to really be able to connect and in fact get to the point where we really know how to love God back, there's only one way. And that is for us to receive openly the gift that he gave us. You see, God gave the world Jesus Christ, and he's our Savior and the greatest gift we'll ever have. But you see, before Jesus left, he said something. He said, I'm going to give you a gift. Paraphrasing now. I'm going to give you the Helper. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. You see, the reality is without the Holy Spirit, we don't know how to knock. We don't know how to seek. If you find that you're struggling to seek, or you've lost your passion, you see, the reason why you've lost your passion is because Jesus said that I will come and I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You see, that baptism, that baptizo, the word in the Greek, speaks of being completely submerged, completely submersed. When you come out full of the Holy Spirit, it's pouring out all over you. It's flowing out of your hair. Your eyes are busy dripping with water. Everything is busy coming out of you because you've been submerged by Him. You've been filled with Him. He's coming out all over you and you can't help it. But something begins to change and all of a sudden you can seek a little easier and you can knock and the door just seems to go open. Something's shifting. Something's changing. But the problem is the church has decided to neglect. You see, we're in such a rush. Give me the gifts. Give me the gifts. Oh, I want to be the great apostle. Oh, I want to be the next great Billy Graham. Oh, God, use me to heal. Yes, that's great. And He wants you to desire those things. It's good. But do not neglect the source of all those gifts. Can you say amen? The greatest gift that Jesus left when he went up is the Holy Spirit. So I said to God, what must we do, Lord? And all I heard was Holy Spirit. You see, God is not like us. When we say, God, what must we do? We want to say, you need to do this and I'll give it to you. And all he was saying to me was, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. In other words, if you want to know how to love me more, you need the Holy Spirit. If you want to know how to seek me more, you need the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that he is your friend. He is your helper. He is your teacher. He's the one who shows you things to come. You see, on the day of Pentecost, Simon is busy. Well, I mean, can you imagine? The fire of God falls in that place. The Holy Spirit fills the place. And tongues, divided tongues of fire sat upon each one of them. And Peter, who was Simon before this, who was so afraid and so just actually weird, to be honest, gets up and speaks with a boldness that is so supernatural that can only be the Spirit of God. And as he begins to preach this sermon, which quite frankly, in my opinion, is not that great. The cloud of witnesses is watching me now. Sorry, Lord. This was a great sermon. What I'm trying to say is it's not the words that you speak. It's what comes out of you when you speak. And while Peter was speaking, the people couldn't take it anymore. And they said this in Acts 2:37. This is what they said. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, while he was speaking, they recognized this power. They recognized this love. They recognized something had changed in Peter. He was no longer Peter anymore. Or rather, let me say, he was no longer Simon anymore. He'd now become Peter, the one that Jesus prophesied over. You see, there's a Peter inside every one of you. Then Peter said to them, repent, repent, and that every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now watch. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. We need that gift. He's so much more than a manifestation. There's no jealousy in the Trinity, guys. He is God. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. They were all there in the beginning. They are all with us now. The problem with us is we don't even know as if there is a Holy Spirit anymore. Because there's no more life. The river has dried up. The well has gone dry. And some of you, even as I speak, it's like your walls need to come down. Stop looking at your walls and your circumstances. Open your heart so that he can begin to work in you, so that he can begin to use you again, so that you can go back to your first love. We don't even know if there is a Holy Spirit anymore. So many of us, the church. And he's saying that they've received this gift. That's interesting, because when Peter goes to Cornelius's house, when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the Gentiles, for the first time, it's the same thing. He's just speaking. And while he's speaking, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit fell on them and they began to speak in tongues. And when Peter goes back to Jerusalem to give a report, and because they're kind of upset with him, like, why is it not only for the Jews? And who gave you permission to do this? And he explains the vision that he had. He speaks about the same thing that happened, the same gift that was released to them on the day of Pentecost was released to the Gentiles also. When he says this in book of Acts, he says it is to all and all who are afar off forever. Forever. You see, the reality is, when it comes to the gift, some of you are going to get this, some of you are not. When it comes to the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift himself comes. And when he comes for all of us, that's when God fills you with your prayer language. That's when God fills you with his Spirit. It's for everyone. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit being manifest and you using them, then the application is different. But there's been a confusion because we didn't see that what was necessary for the church to fulfill destiny and purpose. Listen, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about fulfilling destiny and purpose. Becoming the perfect man. Being the bride of Christ that God has called us to do. We must embrace the fullness of the gift. You need to come to the e-courses and you'll learn this stuff. The devil doesn't like the e-course. He always gets upset. Amen. It's okay. Amen. In John 14, 16 to 20, this is what Jesus said before he went. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, capital S, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. John 16, 13. Let's quickly go there. I'm almost done. You guys okay? Amen. I'm great. John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. No Holy Spirit, no truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will show you. He will teach you. He will become your best friend. He will become the one. When we hear God whisper in our ear, who's whispering? It's the Holy Spirit. And listen, he's not a woman. He's a man. It's a he. It's not a she. He. Don't get bent out of shape if we put the before Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The awesome Holy Spirit. The wonderful Holy Spirit. The counselor. The my best friend. The parakletos. The one who draws near to you. The one who whispers in your ear. The one who shows you things to come. How can we possibly grasp the fullness of what Jesus was trying to say and everything that he was without the Holy Spirit manifest in our lives? Listen, the first thing the apostles did after Philip went into Samaria, the first thing they did, Philip goes into Samaria, lays hands on everyone's demons, manifesting people, getting healed. Peter and John decide to go down to make sure that they'd all received the baptism of the Holy Spirit because he wanted them to walk in the fullness of the gift, not only a portion, not only a part. You must have the fullness. You must experience his fullness. And I said to God, Lord, what can I do for you? Because I don't know anymore. What more? How can I love you more? How can I teach your people to love you more? And he basically said to me, you can't. But when they understand who they have with them, when they understand that the best friend they could ever have is with them, my Spirit that dwells in them, my Spirit that speaks to them, my Spirit that will teach them, yes, he will show them how to draw closer to me. I could go on, 2 Corinthians 13:14. I'll close with this. Every week I pray this prayer over you, because it is so powerful. If you can only grasp the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we could only grasp the love of God, the love of the Father, and if we could only grasp what it means to have communion with the Holy Spirit. When Paul spoke about communion, he knew exactly what he was using. He used a word that was so powerful in the Greek. It actually describes a partnership. It describes a very intimate, close relationship. You see, it's God's desire from the very beginning to have intimacy and relationship with you. When you get saved, guess what? You have the opportunity to have this intimacy and relationship with God. But we need the third person of the Holy Spirit to be alive and well in our life. He is not just a breath. He is not just a power. And He is those things as well. But He is a person that you must welcome into your home, a person that you must welcome into your life. Lord, what can we do? What can we do, Father, to draw closer to you? What can we say, Lord? What can we say? How can we say that we love you? When your love is so great and so deep and so far and so wide. And Holy Spirit, you are the very person of God now on this earth that Jesus sent to be our parakletos, which means to be our comforter, our helper. He whispers in your ear. He desires to draw close to you. And so right now, in this moment, I want to challenge every one of you. You see, over the last few weeks and even months, I've been challenging us to deal with our hearts. To deal with our hearts. Unforgiveness, bitterness, hurt, anger. All those things. God is desiring one thing from you. Only one thing. And that one thing He desires more than anything is just your heart. But we guard our anger. We guard our hurt. We guard our bitterness. We protect it because we have the right to it. But when we finally surrender and say, God, I'm going to give you my heart, then the Holy Spirit comes in and does a work in you and through you, the likes of which you will never even be able to comprehend or imagine. And so this morning in this place, I'm challenging you to say, Lord, I give you my heart this morning. Forget all the past, forget the pain, how many times you failed, how many times you let Him down, how many times you did drugs, how many times you drank, how many times you fell. Doesn't matter. Right now, in this place, we are a people who are starting to see those things that are written in the Bible, mysteries and secrets that have always been there but have not yet been revealed because we didn't see it. But now it's so clear and so plain. And how did we not see it? For now is the season, now is the time that the church will come to the fullness. And so, Father, right now in this place, we give our hearts to you. And in giving our hearts to you, Father, how is it that we can show you that we love you? How is it that we can show you that we mean business, that this is the day, Father, where we will not be the same again? Change us forevermore in this place this morning. Let the words that I speak even now, Father, let them be words that come from your throne room. And Father, as we sing this song right now, as we sing this song and we open our hearts to you this morning, Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. You are so welcome in this place. This is your church, Lord. This is your church, Father. This is your church. We are your people.
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message has inspired you in so many ways. If you would like to support our ministry, or if you would like more messages, you can find that at www.oceansunite.com. Once again, we are so excited to have you as a part of the family. Have a wonderful day.